Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and this is Hotel Mars, Episode N. Dr. David Livingston of the space show Dr. Space and I are co-pilots, and we have a navigator with us, Dr. David Grinspoon, who has been my guide on the matters of the solar system, especially the possibility of astrobiology, for many decades. And there's always new information coming in, which makes planetary science endlessly interesting. You have all this data that you know in 100 years they're still going to be processing it, but it's fresh when you see it. And what's fresh right now is that Juno, which is the NASA probe of Jupiter, been in orbit, has now given us pictures of Ganymede, a very large moon. The distinguishing characteristic of these photographs is that it has cracks in the surface that look like somebody's been skating over it. Dr. Grinspoon, what do we make of these cracks? Have we seen this before?
Well, we've seen it before, but this is a wonderful new close-up look. I mean, our first decent views of Ganymede, they weren't quite this decent, but the first time we really saw what the picture was like goes back to the Voyager mission in 1979, when Voyager did its flyby through the Jupiter system. But then in the 90s, we had the Galileo probe, which was a Jupiter orbiter, which made many passes by Ganymede and got us a lot of great images. But we haven't been back there with a decent camera since then. So it's been decades. And, it's wonderful to see Ganymede again with this incredibly sharp camera of the Juno mission. And you mentioned that what they call the groove terrain, those cracks in the surface, the sort of parallel cracks that characterize a big fraction of the surface. And that groove terrain is actually a big mystery. It's still really unexplained, even though we've had the images of it since the Voyager days. There are ideas that they are some kind of tectonic ridges left over from early in the history of Ganymede, when the icy crust was thinner and it was easier to break that crust with some kind of ice tectonics. That's the sort of prevalent idea, but it's still a bit of a mystery. So it's wonderful to have these new images now that the geologists, the ice geologists, will be able to pore over and try to, see if we can learn more that will help us crack that mystery.
Dr. Livingston?
When I saw the pictures, David, I thought Ganymede had a lot of resemblance to Earth's moon. Is there any similarity with Ganymede and Earth's moon?
Well, in a sense, yes, because they're both ancient moons that are dominated by impact craters. Like Earth's moon, there are smoother areas and rougher areas. It's sort of two distinct types of terrain, one darker and one lighter, so both being full of craters and then having that quality of the kind of darker areas that at least superficially look like the lunar maria and the lighter areas. But when you go into more detail, you got to remember with Ganymede, you're looking at a surface that's basically all ice. Some of it's dirty ice, some of it's more fresh ice. And with the moon, you're looking at different kinds of rock. So different materials, but clearly some similar processes have shaped them.
It's large. Dr. Grinspoon, it's very large. It's the largest moon in the solar system. It's larger than planets. It's larger than our moon, which I always thought was number one until I learned about Ganymede. Now, where did this come from? This looks like a planet. Was it a planet?
Well, it is huge, as you pointed out. If it was orbiting the sun, it would, most people would call it a planet. Maybe the IAU wouldn't.
right.
But I mean, it's larger than the planet Mercury and it's larger than Pluto. But, since it's orbiting Jupiter, we call it a moon. Although it is, in terms of the nature of the object, it really is a planet in its own right. It seems to have an origin that is related to the origin of Jupiter itself. You know, it's one of these four giant moons that Jupiter has that we call the Galilean moons because they were discovered by Galileo, in the early 1600s, which sparked a revolution in knowledge. And, we understand that they formed, in a nebula around Jupiter as it was forming 4.5 billion years ago in a way that's really pretty analogous to the way the planets formed in a nebula around the young sun at around the same time. So even in terms of the way that it formed around Jupiter, it's almost as if Jupiter was a mini solar system in formation with these, the sort of planets, if you will, that formed around it.
And right now, we don't have a probe outbound for Ganymede. Is that correct, Dr. Grinspoon?
That is correct, except, the Europa Clipper is heading out to Europa. What's the launch date? There's no time soon. It's 2030 something. I'd have to look it up. But, that's our next mission to the Jupiter system. And even though that's far off in the future, it is an approved mission that is now, being built. And I don't know the details of the orbit of the Europa Clipper, but I would imagine that it will be able to probably get images of the other moons as well, because it doesn't go into orbit around Europa. It actually orbits Jupiter and makes many close passes of Europa. So I'm not sure how close it will come to Ganymede, but I would guess that that mission will be our next decent look at the other moons as well.
Dr. David Grinspoon of the Planetary Institute, now one of the co-investigators on the Da Vinci mission, outbound to Venus by the end of this decade is the plan. David Grinspoon is a longtime investigator of Venus, and his dreams come true. So all of you young astrobiologists out there, be careful what you wish for. It'll happen. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. This is CBS Eye on the World and Solar System. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at Greenlight.com/iHeart. That's Greenlight.com/iHeart.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.